Love is in the house, and the house is packed. Today's a pep rally. You ready? I mean, school's already started, so we got over that hump. Have you had one of those weeks? I've had one of those weeks. It was just, oh my gosh, this is an incredible week. Then it just starts doing this thing. Then he goes, oh my gosh, just, you know, I felt like I was on one of those wooden roller coasters. It flexed a little bit. You know, the wooden ones, how they flex a little bit, but it jerked you around a little bit. But it's ended strong. I want to welcome you this morning. Don't stop. I feel that the Lord has set me on this because of personal experience. And I love this Lego picture. Isn't this great? Anybody play Legos when they're kids? Anybody still play Legos? Bring it, okay? GR Legos rock. I haven't seen a Lego land like that, man. Jericho. Over the next couple weeks, John and I both are going to share this pulpit, and somebody who is about to stop short of something, in other words, you're that close to making something really important or good happen, and you're going to fall short, somebody is going to change their mind. God intends to pursue you. This morning it begins. And although I don't know the specifics of your junk, I know I have my crap, you know, there I don't know the specifics in your situation at all. I feel like he's given me something this morning, and John's going to be here next week also, from Scripture. And it's a story you've heard for many, many years, but a different take. And I want you to keep up the pursuit. My brother-in-law is in town, and he's always looking for a new trail, new place to ride. Bring it on, you know. He can make this little town, which is 1 square mile, look like 7, just going all over the place on a bike, because he's pursuing a certain amount of miles. I want to accomplish this, how many I want to do a day. And I look at you personally and say, when your situation looks like I don't have that number, I really don't have that number, do you stop riding? Do you just call it, just saying it? I'm not even sure what my goals look like right now. So I just want to shoot hope in you again this week, and I'm going to talk about those who are stopping short of a promise that God wants you to receive, and in these next couple of weeks, stopping short. And this morning, it's called Don't Stop Till It Drops. Kind of sounds like a Michael Jackson song, right? But not to stop till it drops. And let me use, in the New Testament, a verse from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 10:36, where the writer says, you need to persevere, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. You need to persevere. And what you need to do, tell your neighbor what you need to do. Oh, come on, man. Come on, you guys. The rest of you, you got to interact on the right level. I feel the passivity in the room. You're like, I don't even know this person. That's the idea, okay? Tell your neighbor what you need to do. Is persevere. All right. Let's pray. Father, this morning as we're coming before you, I bring that scripture. I bring Hebrews right there into someone's thinking. The filter of their heart is their mind. So I bring it right to their mind. Congregation, wherever you're from, and it may be here in Avalon, it may not be, what you need to do is persevere. We ask a blessing on this verse and all the rest of them that follow. May someone's life be different as a result of being here today. We give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I think that's a powerful verse. It's loaded. And the media team has done a nice background there. I love this, okay? Powerful verse. Do you know that God can make you a promise that you don't yet possess? That's the deal. I mean, some of you guys, scripture can be kind of boring to you because you're just reading all these amazing promises, right? And you're like, this is good. This is really good. But then you're like, you kind of shelf it because it's the promises haven't been received. In other words, you don't possess them. You're reading about them, but you don't possess them. Anyone there? Yeah? Okay, I've heard some good preachers really good preachers, and the effects of what they're saying makes a lot of sense to me. But if I don't possess those promises, I don't take them for myself, then I'm just orbiting the goodness. I'm orbiting the promises. I'm not letting them change my life for the better. If you don't learn how to persevere, and that's true in relationships, by the way, all right? And it's true in churches, certainly in our spiritual growth, and it's also true in business. And so I want to speak to somebody today, and you know in your heart, possibly you've stopped short. You're on the verge of stopping short of something that God has put inside you, something that he has spoken to you about, something that may have faded. That happened to me this week. But still, even though it's faded, there's this echoing in your heart. It's still there. There's something there. And so this Old Testament passage, a scripture to illustrate this verse we just read, I'm going to go a little deeper into the sixth book of the Bible. Actually, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, what? Yeah, Joshua. We're going to look at Joshua. And we're also going to speak to you this morning from the sixth chapter of the sixth book. And we're going way back, and I want to title this message today, Don't Stop Till It Drops. Look at your neighbor, say, Don't Stop Till It Drops. That's right, baby. Now, you may not understand the context of this right now, okay? But hang in there, it's coming. It's an interesting chapter because it describes how God's people had to conquer a land, okay? You listening to me? They had to conquer a land that was already granted to them. It was promised to them. You listening? Yeah. It had already been told, this is yours, but they had to conquer it, okay? It was theirs, but they weren't quite living there. They weren't living there yet. And I think a lot of our Christian life is like that, because the scripture, totally, that God has blessed us with, every spiritual blessing the Bible says in heavenly places in Christ. So whatever is in Christ is supposed to be working in my life, amen? Right? It's supposed to be moving. The peace of Christ, the joy of the Lord, the strength of God, it's all supposed to be moving. But just because God promised it doesn't mean that I possess it yet. I'm laying a foundation here, and you better hold on, because this roller coaster is going to take you somewhere that you are going to want to get off, and you're going to say, can I ride that again? That's an e-ticket. The foundation has to be set. God sets this up in Scripture. And so now in Joshua 6, we see God's people. It's a great passage. They are literally about to take possession. They have been wandering for years. And here they are on the threshold of victory. And I want to read to you a few verses. Joshua 6, verse 1. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out. No one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, so I've delivered Jericho into your hands, along with this king and the fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have seven priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the seventh day, march around the city seven times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Let's try that right now. All right, good practice, but not yet. Don't shout yet, okay? Before you shout, you got to go around 6 days, six times, the same city. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go straight in. Everyone straight in. You're finally going to get what God promised to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joshua. You're finally going to get what Moses never got to enter because you didn't go into the, he only went into the promised land, led them out of Egypt. But Joshua, you're finally going in. But first, you've got to march for 6 days. This is God talking to Joshua. Just Joshua, okay? And I think this passage, there's three things in here, and I want you to write them down, please, and I'll put some more pens up front. Michael's got his hand full with a bundle of love right here, but if you need a pen, raise your hand, because Maria's got her hands free, and she'll help you out this morning, okay? By the way, maybe if you're writing something down, you may hear something good and want to write that down, And while you're writing something down or hear something good, you may even shout amen. You can multitask. It's the fall. You can do this. But you know, there are at least three reasons in this text. At least three. And I've highlighted three this morning. In fact, my Bible is loaded with about 19. And I looked at my watch and said, we're not doing 19 this morning. But we're going to do three. And I've noticed that people stop short. And I believe, here it is, first one, I believe that so many people never receive God's blessing because they don't persevere. And the first reason, because our stinking perspective gets blocked. Don't write stinking in there, but it just gets blocked. We've talked about this for a month. It's called a distorted perception. Somebody sent me a text, oh my goodness, or an email, where you cannot read into it. You cannot see what they were putting it into the context of. Your mind just goes right there. And you think the worst. You can't read if they're shouting it or they're whispering it, right? You know what I'm saying? It's a distorted perception. You don't have enough information, so your mind just makes up stuff. And we freak out. Our perspective gets blocked. Isn't that true? Our perspective gets blocked. I was studying a little bit about Jericho. How many show of hands have ever heard of the Joshua in the Battle of Jericho? Everyone here. Joshua Fitzpatrick. It's got a song. Jericho, Jericho. And the walls came tumbling down. I don't know what version that was. It was bad. But a little bit of Sunday school. A little bit of flannel graph. Great kid story. I already showed you the Legos. It's good. But that's what he did, right? I mean, the song and what he actually did. That's how it went, right? If Joshua heard that song, okay, he'd be like, no, we didn't just see these things just fall down. There was a lot involved. In fact, for 45 years, I've been marching around out here. Then I had six more days. Jericho was the first city that was promised in the land, but they had to take it. Not everything was just handed to them, it would seem. There was something involved here, but it was an inheritance. It was the first in the promised land. And everything God wanted to give them was following in the path. Everybody say first. Yeah. The first battle is always the hardest. Right? I've been on that zip line. Y'all been on the zip line? That was like three people. Okay? Some of y'all are scared of heights. It's very real. It's very real. I acknowledge that, okay? I don't have it, but I acknowledge it. And the first one is the shortest line. It's like, I think they call it the bunny slope. And yet, what step out of all five zips is the most difficult step? Very first. The second one's like 700-something, 1,000, 3,000 billion feet long, and it's got a drop of doom, the canyon. It's called the Big Daddy, Papa Grande. And you'd figure that one would make you, you know, everything that comes with being nervous. But no, it's the first step. And in fact, if people don't make that first step, they get back on the bus. I've seen it. It's always the first step. Just like getting up and going to Carla's fitness class in the morning. Or walking the horse trail. If you could lace your shoes, you're going to be okay. But it's never easy. Sometimes getting started is the hardest part. And I was studying this Jericho and singing this song, and he fought the battle, and it was great. You know, he spent 45 years in the wilderness. Some of you haven't even lived on the island that long. Can you imagine 45 years in wilderness? That's not in the song. Joshua wandered for 45 years. This didn't make it. 45 years in the wilderness. Round and round, because the generation before did not have the faith to go in. He waited 45 years even to get the opportunity to go in. So Josh was watching us in our little hand motions and flannel graphs going, uh-uh, no, no. Because sometimes we see somebody else's victory, we oversimplify their process. Amen? Oh my goodness. Church, wake up. We see a blessing in somebody else's life and we just think, well, they come from Christian parents. they went to a Christian school or whatever it is. They've been battling like you've been battling. You cannot oversimplify the process in somebody's life. The hell that you live through, who knows? They may have gone through that and more to get to the blessing that they're in. Be careful with that. We assumed it was just easy for them, and they just fought the battle, and the walls fell down. Actually, it went the other way around, because Jericho, actually, let me give you a little geography here. It's not that big of a city. Approximately 1 hour is all it would take to go around the city. Okay? So what? Airport loop trail? I don't know. Maybe that. Somewhere in there. Marched about it in about an hour. Wasn't that Jericho was big. That wasn't the challenge. Conquering it was, but it was the what? Anyone want to guess? Look at my Legos there. It was the walls. They were huge. Only an hour to go around the darn thing, but the walls were huge. And I'm going to preach on this for just a minute, because some of the stuff that's not happening in your life, some of the crap that God's, you know, trying to work into, he's trying to get out, and some of the promises that you haven't received yet, some of the stuff that you're intimidated of, and I'm preaching to Andrew right now, it's not that it's really bigger than you. It may only take you an hour. It's bigger than something that you may face. It seems in reality, it's just your perspective gets blocked on how high the walls actually are. You see, that's what makes you so wise in coming to church. I'm just going to say it. I'm glad you're here. Good job getting here today, okay? Because one of the greatest battles that people fight is just getting to church. But one of the blessings of attendance is this. It lifts your perspective. You're already amening. You're already hearing things in your heart. You're seeing today beyond the walls of your problems. That's why God said, I'm giving you a... And that's why God turns around. He says, that seventh day, whenever it is, I want you to make it holy. And that's why he also looks at you and he says, I want you to make it a day of rest. I want you to stop doing what you normally do. I want you to get out of your matrix. And even if you have to turn your phone off, I want one day, I want you to break it. I want your perspective to change. Because right now, most of us are looking at some pretty high walls, and it's big. It lifts your perspective. Being here helps you see the opposition. Amen? Huh? Yeah. So as long as y'all are looking at walls, like for 6 days... 6 days, round and round, looking at traffic. I was in it all day yesterday. Looking at setbacks. Looking at deficits. Looking at teenagers. Hello. Looking at our spouse. Looking at our past. Looking at problems. Here's what I love about our worship team, okay? And I listen to them while I'm praying in the room next door. They're always excited. They've had to pray their way to get up here to be excited, but they're leading you in worship. Lead worshipers. They're leading the pep rally, but don't think for 1 minute that they're posing up here. They've had to go through the same stuff. They've had to work that out to even make it on the stage to say, I'm ready to be an empty vessel this morning. But I love this about our worship team. It's not like even ACC... Our website, this is being recorded right now. All these messages recently have been recorded. And people, a lot of times, love to listen online. Great, if for whatever reason you're out of town or you're not well. But by staying home, you're not around other people. You don't get to praise God around other people. And when you get to do this collectively, come on somebody, you're with me this morning. It reminds you, I'm not alone in this. I'm not alone. I'm not a lone ranger. It's not my own situation. I've got other people, and they're pursuing God with me. And there's something about praising God, and there's something about looking next to you in the trenches that are with you, and this effort to get into what? God's presence. There's an effort there, and it's hard to do that online. It's hard to do that online. I'm not saying it's impossible, but collectively with others, your perspective, seeing past your problems. There's a great cloud of witnesses here to cheer you on. Amen. And when you see past your problems, you can see that there's an enemy that you are intimidated of. And that enemy, literally the enemy, was actually intimidated of you all along. Come on, somebody. Right? Because when you get here, you're like, man, I've got this guy on the run. But when you're alone, he's got you on the run. You just look at the walls and you forget I could see over these with some help. Verse 2, the Lord says to Joshua, see, I've delivered Jericho into your hands. Look at it, verse 2. See, I've delivered Jericho into your hands. I love these verses, but here's where I had some problems. And congregation, stay with me this morning. They don't go together. Yeah, you guys are looking at it too. Yeah, you're like, shouldn't that be verse 1? No. Yeah, what? What? They don't go together. My problem with verse 2 is verse 1. Because Joshua literally was listening to God, and he says to him, see, I've given you Jericho. First of all, only God could speak in past tense about a battle that you haven't fought yet. People, are you awake this morning? That's how strong God is. That's how powerful God is. He shows you his confidence in his own ability. Amen? He is talking past tense about a battle you have not fought yet. He is looking at Joshua and he's going, see, I've given you this. And then verse 1 hits. But God says, see, I'm not stressed out about what you're stressed out about. I'm not popping Prozac about the G7 conference and the trade wars and the 2020 election. I'm not freaking out. I've worked this out. I am sovereign. And I've got this. I don't care what you see in your marriage. I don't care that your teenager is flushing valuable memories and back-talking in rebellion. I don't care that you just lost your job to a crooked employer. I don't care that you can't see where your lease money's coming from. Avalon, I've given you this. I've given you this. Trust me. My purpose will prevail any time you want to see over the walls. It's here. It's available. If you get on with the plan, though. If you get on with the victory, the plan. This is the plan. But watch, I'm telling you, verse 1 looks nothing like verse 2. And this is where I'm leaving the foundation we just set. And I'm telling you, if you've ever been on a good roller coaster. And how many have been to Knott's Berry? Okay, good. Everybody, great. How many have been on Space Mountain? Okay, even more of you, right? There is the initial, right? You got to do the, otherwise it's around the bottom. That's not a roller coaster. That's a people mover. You need a, that is the foundation we're on. We are now at the top, and we are going to launch. And I love Space Mountain because you can't see the heck where you're going. You have no idea. And that's exactly what Joshua is being told right here. Verse 1, and it says this. Verse 2, let's do it again. See, I've given you Jericho into your hand. Here it is, verse 1. It says the gates of Jericho were what? Don't look at me. I didn't write that. That doesn't make any sense. Shouldn't we, like, flip these around? Have you ever felt like what you see in your life doesn't match up with what God has set in your heart? Have you? Is it just me? Have you ever felt like God is speaking to you about victory, but you feel defeated? You ever felt like God is speaking to you about healing, wants to do something on the inside, but you're feeling broken? But you know he's saying something, but you don't feel that? You ever felt like God was speaking to you to tell somebody about Christ, but inside you have your own doubts about his existence, period? I'm wondering, have you ever felt like what God said doesn't match up with what you see? Labor Day weekend. I'm just asking, have you ever had a season in your life where your revelation doesn't match up with your reality? Come on. That's the situation for Josh. That's his perspective. It's blocked. God, that's great, but, verse 1, it's all barred up. Nobody goes out. Nobody comes in. You can't see past the walls to God's promises because your perspective is different. Amen, church? Our perspective is not going to be blocked anymore after today. The roller coaster has left the platform, my friends. Strap in. Secondly, write this down. I believe a lot of us stop short because our progress is not always obvious. Space Mountain works perfect. That's not even my notes. Because it's dark. I'm going somewhere. Okay, so God speaks to Joshua. He says, march around the wall for 6 days. On the seventh day, march seven times. It's going to be awesome. Walls are coming down. So Josh calls the people together. Verse 6. Love this. The Bible's amazing, by the way. Anybody read the Bible? Okay. Four of you? Great. Read the Bible. You're like, oh, it's boring. No, you're boring. Read the Bible. It's exciting. It's wild. I've already flipped two verses around that you've read since you were knee-high to a grasshopper, and you didn't see that. This place was barred and closed, and God turns around and says, I don't care. It's yours. Trust that. We could close in prayer right now. But we're going further. He ordered the army. Here it is. Advance! March around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. Now they get this instruction. Start marching. And Joshua, after he told the people, verse 8, okay, it says, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets and the Ark of the Lord's covenant following them. So they're making progress. Doesn't it feel good to make progress? Doesn't it? I love it. It's football season. We finally get to play next week. We have been in preseason forever and ever and running laps forever and ever and guys puking forever and ever. All these things. And finally, we get to play a game. So you guys, you finally finished orientation and new job and the Atwater finally opens up. Yes. Right? Get a chance. Some of you guys, it's finally fall and I get back into rhythm and routine again. Something new. Well, that's what's happening here. Some progress is going on. They're making progress. The armed guard marched ahead of the priest, verse 9, who blew the trumpets and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time, the trumpets are sounding. But Joshua had commanded the army, do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout, then shout. So we had the Ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to camp. Back. They did this for 6 days. Joshua 6, 6 through 14, okay? Now, I want to get all up in this story right now. I don't have hair that long. And here's the deal. I want you to feel what these men must have felt while they thought they were about to charge into this city. Let's do this. Hands are in. 1, 2, 3. All in. All right? 6 days taking a walk. And let me tell you, if I were God, and that's the most terrifying prospect in the history of mankind right now, okay? But if I were God, I would at least, and I was orchestrating this miracle, I would at least give them a little something to go on, okay? A little something, whatever it is. You ever play Tetris?
You ever play Tetris?
Right? So what happens when you complete a level in Tetris? The one level disappears, right? Wouldn't it be cool? Disappeared? Wouldn't it be awesome? But that's not what happened. They didn't go around six times with six layers of wall going all the way down to the bottom. It was there seven straight times. And that's the way that it works. Hey, good. Wouldn't it be great if that were the the way that things would work. Little sign every time. God, just give me something. I don't need much. I don't need much. You know that jerk at work, you know, just like make his car not start. Just a little something. Just a little something. I don't need much. It's good. That's what we want. That's what we want the walls to do, is to disappear. Because I need to see something happen to motivate. I need some motion to keep my motivation up. Are any of you like me? Heck yeah. I don't mind working hard. I don't mind sacrificing. I don't mind putting up with stuff. But I need to know that my pain has got some purpose to it. That it's serving a purpose. That there's a point to this. But the Bible doesn't say that they walked around the first day and a little bit of the wall fell down. It walked the second day. So motivating. Yeah. No, it doesn't say that. Okay. Instead, if you were one of these fighting men, can you imagine? Can you imagine coming home, men, to your wife? Can you imagine? Right? And it doesn't. They probably went to a camp and they weren't there, but that would ruin my illustration. But so don't go there. But let's just say you came home. How was the fight today? How was it today? Did you guys get in? What was it like in Jericho? Did you go in there? Who'd you kill today, my little warrior? Who'd you kill today? Well, babe, you know, today we just kind of walked and I mean, I'm sure Josh was trying to get us or warmed up, you know, just a lap, getting around there, you know, size up the walls, just see how things look. Great, right? Day one, cool. Day two, how was it today? We walked again, you know, another lap. Somebody needs to say something to Joshua, but he won't let us say anything because he says we're not allowed to talk. So we're talking to ourselves and no one can say anything to anybody else. I mean, this isn't happening. Can you imagine coming home and telling that story? Here I was, 45 years, and here we are, and we're doing laps, and there it is. You know, I did not sign up for the marching band. There's trumpets. I want to use my sword, dog. I want to do this. What's going on? Right? But it's not that way. 6 days. 6 days, round and round. How was your day? How's this going? I think, you know what? Why did Joshua tell them not to talk while they were marching? And I saw this in one of my books that I was reading, and I love this. And I'm using this material here, and I'm quoting this from a sweet Matthew Henry commentary. I think because he knew that 40 years earlier, this is Joshua, it was what the spies said about their situation that kept them from receiving God's promise. Are you listening to me? And he knew that when it comes to receiving God's promises, your mouth is often your own worst enemy. Your thoughts are often your own worst enemy. He just said, shut up and march. You got to express how you feel sometimes, but sometimes the best strategy is to shut up and march. Touch three people around you and look at them and say, shut up and march. You know you want to tell people to shut up in church. This is your chance right now. Oh, gosh, I'm in a lot of trouble. Here come the emails. 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days. Still no action. By the way, I've been holding on to this bomb. I'm about to drop it right now. Okay, here it is. I've been holding this far too long. This is going to blow your mind. Do you know how God told Joshua that after 6 days, on the seventh day, the walls are going to fall down? Remember that? Okay, you read that. Remember that? Just read it. Okay, here it is. Do you know what Joshua did not tell the people? He didn't say a single word about how long they're going to do this. Read it again. Joshua gets the people and he says, advance. March. And keep your mouth shut. And I'll tell you when we get there. And he doesn't tell them how long. He doesn't tell them how many laps. So it's not like they can say, five more days of this. 4 more days of this. Right? He doesn't tell them anything. He says, march, advance, be quiet. And they're thinking, this man has left his natural, ever-loving mind. For all I know, we are just a marching band. This isn't happening. Can you imagine being in those ranks? Folks, read Scripture. Look at it. He doesn't tell them. And there they go, round and round. Here's the third reason we stop short. Ready? Write it in. Because the process is open-ended. Write that in. The process is open-ended. The process is open-ended. Like one role that I have when I'm working out many times is I love to work out with my sports team. Okay? If you say, Hobbs, I want you to run around, you know, Burrito Point. I want you to go up here to this part, and I want you to go around Hog's Back. I'd be like, drop dead, dude. But you say, hey, I want you to, you know, play soccer today. There are 20 people going out there, whatever. I'll get my running in, right? I feel good when I'm working out with somebody. That's great. But you know what? If somebody says, I want you to do a plank for 30 seconds, I'll do 30 seconds, okay? But when somebody else is holding the clock and they don't tell you how long you're going to do this plank for, just hold it, dude. I'll tell you when to stop. What? I'm not doing this, right? Just go around Hogback and keep going. Keep her going. Don't say anything, by the way. Just keep doing it. I know everybody else your age, your friends are getting married, and you're not married yet, but I want you to stay pure for 2 more years. I'd be like, all right, God, 2 years? I'll do it 2.5 years. I'll raise you 3 years. That's the number of the Trinity, okay? Nice churchy thing there. I'll do it to you. But he doesn't say that, does he? If I know what I got to do, I got 3 things working against me. I got walls. I can't even see what I'm pursuing, what I'm fighting for, what it's going to be like. I got problems. I got no progress, okay? I'm marching, and there's nothing happening, which, by the way, I have a theory that there's a reason the walls did not fall down a little bit at a time. It's because God didn't want Joshua and the men to trust in their effort, their progress, because he wanted them to have faith in his promise. Just stay here with me. And see, sometimes God lets you walk around in the situation. Come on, church. Sometimes he'll have you walking around in the situation where you're doing this thing round and round, and it doesn't seem to be working at all, because he wants you to know, do you trust me that I'm even working when what you're doing doesn't even seem to be working? Will you still pray when the answer hasn't come for 6 days? Will you still serve me when nobody appreciates you? Will you show up when you don't even feel like this is even making a difference, period? Will you still give? Will you still tithe even when you can't even make ends meet? Will you still? That's the question he wants you to know. And he says it to Andrew first. And I'm giving this to you in an overflow of the burden that I have felt too. I have been tested. And I am being tested. I'm going through the fire, and congregation, I'm putting you through it with me. He says, will you? Will you still be this way? Will you still do this? Will you march just because I told you to? Not because you saw the benefit of it. Not because you saw the progress and things moving forward. Man, I have a philosophy that we could all work out. We could all eat well. We could work out. We could eat well if we did it together. We could actually see, wouldn't that be great? We could see the results if we worked out together, we ate well together. Wouldn't that be awesome? And you see the results together. So we eat well together, we work out together, and we see the results. Man, I'd be popping broccoli all day long with an ab there. Boom, pop, broccoli, ab, ab, bam, 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 bam. That'd be great. Wouldn't it be awesome? Right? Cauliflower, just drinking that stuff. Yeah, it'd be great, but that's not how it works. There is something behind the scenes. It takes time. There's commitment. There is discipline. It's all in there. But I'm saying sometimes God wants you to know this. I am working, Avalon, when what you're doing doesn't seem to be. Can you trust me? This is the essence of faith, you see. Because it was walking around the walls of Jericho. Listen to me. It was walking around the walls of Jericho that was preparing them for the giants that they were going to face once they got into the land. Once they got into the land, there were huge issues. Bigger mountains to tackle. And God was preparing them. It was in what God had to do, listen to me, on the inside. And we're so convinced that what God wants to do is for us. And that makes a great sermon. I want God to do this for me, for us. And I want him to do this for me right now. And yet God is saying, no, 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 no. I want to do something in you. I know you want results. I want to do something in you. The results will come. You don't get it. I know you want to march one time, and I know you want to hear this whole thing go down. But I want you to do this 6 times. I'm building something here. Wouldn't it be great if, you know, you open the Legos and there it was, Jericho? Any kid in this room of any age would tell you that would suck. The fun of Legos is in the building of one block at a time and putting this thing together. It's the process. You can even change a little bit on your way. Doesn't prefab that thing. You don't get, sometimes you can get these prefab deals, but that's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. And God says this, you're so concerned with what I'll do for you. Take a look at what I want to do in you. See, my message today is that some of you are on lap number 6 and you don't even know it. Anyone here a NASCAR fan? Me. From the South. Bill? Cool. You know, don't watch NASCAR if you don't like NASCAR. But if you like NASCAR, you know that in the bottom right-hand corner, every time, of every screen, of every race, what does it say? Laps. Daytona 500, it'll say lap 472. 498. And man, those last 2 laps, oh my gosh, all heck breaks out. You don't get a lap counter. Life doesn't tell you how many laps you have left. And I wonder how many people gave up on their marriage, gave up on their ministry, gave up on your kids, you gave up on your teenager. You gave up on God and you were on lap 6 and you didn't even know it. Don't stop till it drops. Don't stop till it drops. That is this sermon's title. Get me today. You're closer than you think you are. Do not stop until you hear from God. Do not stop until you hear these trumpets blow. You will know when it's time. Shut up and march. Keep moving forward. You may look stupid playing a trumpet. You may look stupid on your 5th lap. You don't know how far you're going. God sent me here to preach to you today to not stop. You might look ridiculous. Avalon, do not stop. If you walk every lap like it's your last, believing that what God has promised, He will perform, one day you will be right. You need to persevere so that after you have received the promise, the process will prepare you so that you can live in the land. And Avalon, today, I wonder if I can pray for you in this manner to take it. Go on in. See, Avalon, I've prepared this for you. I've prepared this for you. I don't care what you think and see that it's barred up and nobody's going in and this situation looks hopeless. I prepared this for you. But this is the process. I want you to pray with me, and if you would stand, that'd be great, just so we're together. Y'all did not come here to church by accident. And some of you are on the verge of quitting something that God's promised you. And you've lost your grip. I've been there. You're letting go. You gave up mentally. You checked out emotionally. You're still present, but you're not really in it. And God brought you here today so that you can hear this, but this might be your last lap. And every lap that you walk around, every time the walls don't fall, there's something that God is building inside you. He's building something. Joshua, I want to teach you to trust me. So I want to pray for you today, congregation, who are on the verge of giving up on a dream, an aspiration, or a calling of God on your life. I want to pray for you in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that your strength has come today and the strength of the God to encourage the weary, sustain the one who wanted to quit. I thank you, Lord, that six may be our number, but seven's yours. I thank for you the six laps that showed us that we don't have the strength. We're there to prepare us for the seventh. So we would give you all the glory when it comes to all of this. And I pray what you're doing in us matters more than what you're doing for us. Give us strength to persevere in Jesus' name. And there's another group of people I want to pray with today. And right now in your life, you're still living in the sixth day. And you're doing everything in your own power to make your life right. You're marching, you're trying to receive, you're trying to be popular, you're trying to jump hoops and get to the top. I don't know what your effort is, but I know it always falls short. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the promise of God is this, that whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that's not a promise you can earn, my friends. It's a promise you simply must believe. Believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Confess it with your mouth. The Bible says you shall be saved. If there's someone here today, and I know there's many, that life has worn you out, walking around the same mountains, the same addictions, the same efforts, and today you want to surrender your life to the grace of God. And say, I can't knock these walls down. Only you can. And only you can change my heart. And if that's you, I want to lead you in this prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe Christ is your Son, Savior of the world. I believe he died to forgive my sin. And he's alive to give me life. I turn from my sin. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. I want to follow you. Father, thank you for those who have the courage to drop their sword and realize you've already won the fight. And I'm giving it to you. The battle has been won. See, I've given you power over addiction. Go take it. Go take it. And Father, thank you. Thank you for your scripture. All of it. May it not return void. And thank you once again for the blessing of those who made it here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.